I'm Dr. Sue, and I cure conflict. What if I told you can choose to become the solution to any conflict in your life? Let's move beyond divorce and conflict together. I'm Dr. Sue. We cure conflicts. Hi, everybody. This is Dr. Sue, and you are listening to the Dr. Sue Show. And this is where we help you to choose to become the solution to any conflict in your life. We believe here that you can go beyond divorce and that compassion cures conflict. And I have another great guest with me today, and I really do think we're going to need the full hour with her. So I am going to get right into this today. Her name is Gabrielle Hartley. She is a nationally recognized divorce attorney, online mediator, and divorce strategy coach. She trains divorce professionals to bring the highest level of conflict resolution into their practice. She is a respected negotiator, author, and an engaging dynamic speaker. And she wrote the book, Better Apart. And we are going to talk about that today, how you can be better apart and her method that goes along with that. So I'd like to bring her right into the show. Hi, Gabrielle.
Hi, Sue. I'm so excited to be here with you.
I'm really excited to have you on today. As you know, we met on Clubhouse.
And I know.
Right away, we said to each other that this is a connection, right? We feel the same way about divorce and beyond divorce.
100%.
You've been practicing for a long time. Tell us a little bit about your background and how and why you moved into the divorce coaching and what you're doing now before we get into the meat of the interview today.
Sure. It's kind of funny. Divorce is the last thing I ever wanted to do. I grew up with parents who divorced when I was 9 and my brother was 6. And they actually had a shared parenting plan, believe it or not, long before that was even a thing. Not to date myself, but I've been a divorce attorney in New York for 25 years now. So it was in the early 80s, and they were kind of almost like braggy about how great the divorce was. And by the time I got to law school, I was like, I'm so done with this topic. I was like 22 years old. And right out of law school, I did not pursue divorce until, you know, I did some divorces, but I didn't really go completely in until I was invited to clerk for a judge in New York City. And it was at that time that I realized that I had a real passion and, you know, a real sort of laser sharp skill at resolving highly contentious divorces. And so what I realized, though, better than any therapy could have ever showed me is like how lucky I was that my parents were able to keep out of the courtroom, even when things weren't great. And they were really able to navigate through the divorce beautifully. And the process as it exists today, unfortunately, as we all know, stirs up a lot of drama, encourages people to go down rabbit holes, offers little support to the person who's trying to keep the peace sometimes. And unfortunately, it doesn't always serve families as it best should. And so eventually I launched what I call the positive divorce movement, which is all about like not feeling like your home is broken. It's about moving forward from where you are. It's about feeling whole and recognizing that like today is the first day of the rest of your life, even if things aren't perfect. And that's my long-winded version of how I got here today. I just knew that there's something that's broken. And I love mediating online with people. I love doing divorce strategy coaching with people, but I also really love coaching and teaching divorce lawyers and divorce mediators on how to make their practice positive, because I alone obviously can't change the whole global conversation of divorce.
No, but you are a very powerful voice within it. And what attracted me to you was that you were an attorney that was talking in terms of how compassion can cure conflict, how you can have a positive divorce, you can reach reasonable resolutions, but it all starts with you. And is that what you believe?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, Better Apart, I wrote Better Apart, the radically positive way to separate, with the idea that even if So I wrote it thinking that people who were in terrible litigation could read it and it would feel like they were with a friend, right? Because not everybody could afford to hire me or a lawyer who can really support them the way they need the support. So I thought, okay, even if you are in the most heated litigation and you're dealing with things coming at you, you don't even know what you're going to do, and you feel like you just need to fight, and maybe you do need to fight, but internally, you need to give yourself a healthy dose of compassion and keep yourself in a calm place where your emotions are cooled so that you can be more, your thinking brain will be engaged and you can make more mindful decisions that are going to serve you and your family as you navigate forward.
Exactly. And that's exactly what I teach as well, as you know, that if you are not in a good place yourself, if you're not giving yourself some self-compassion, some downtime from all the panic and the fear and anxiety that is going on, you certainly can't navigate through this in the most productive way. Now, question for you, have you seen this ability to reach a reasonable resolution in a high conflict divorce? Have you seen this?
I mean, I have seen it, but I'm going to give you some caveats, because you have to remember, when I started practicing in the divorce court, all the cases I saw were so high conflict that they were ready for trial. Okay. So these people are really rooted in their positions, never mind getting to interest, never mind like dissecting the what's and the whys. They're there to fight and they want blood. And I was young, you know, and I just sort of got in there and cut through a lot of the crap, if you will, and, you know, acknowledged, have people sort of acknowledge from a place of authenticity of like, this stinks and we can move forward even though we don't like each other very much. And I'm using all highly sanitized language for your show, Dr. Sue.
Oh, that is so nice of you. Thank you very much.
But off, you know, and it's funny because when I stopped clerking for the judge, I did think like, huh, maybe the only reason I was so good at settling cases was because they had the threat of the judge in the next room, and that was scary and that's expensive. But what I found was the same principles that I utilized to resolve cases in the court, I could sort of transfer to the home, you know, to like my own office situation. I know, well, I call my office my home because it's like I live there, even though now I do work from home. I didn't used to. So let me just give you the caveats with a high conflict divorce.
Please do.
So first of all, in a high conflict divorce, if somebody will not engage, there's very little I can do, right? Like if somebody just won't come to the table, if somebody is not ready to resolve, I can't make them resolve.
Exactly. You cannot do that.
No, I cannot. I'm so sorry. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, we're good. We can hear you fine. Can you hear us?
I can. It's just that my sons upstairs have decided to start playing music very loudly.
No, we're good. Thank you. Good. Now, thanks for letting the world know that. And hello to your son.
Oh my gosh. There is just no privacy anymore. It's so unfortunate. So the other thing with a high conflict divorce situation is that if you have somebody who is making agreements and then they don't stick to the agreements, you still might need court intervention. So I just would like to say that, yes, it can be done, because there are certain things that you can do on an online platform, especially for a high conflict. If you find that you need to go to court, don't beat yourself up. Mm.
And don't be scared to go to court, right?
Yep. Because, you know, there is truly no pot of gold at the end of the rainbow at court. There's right. No magic serum that's going to make everything okay. But when you go to court, your case is going to be addressed and your worries are going to be allayed, maybe not perfectly. It is always better to reach a resolution together if you can at a negotiating table with your spouse. But if you can't, you know, the judge is not going to kill you. The judge, you know, sometimes you just don't have an option, as I'm sure you've seen also, Dr. Sue, is that right?
Yes. And a lot of times, you know, if it's going to be litigated and somebody is going to take you to court. They're going to take you to court. There's nothing that you can do.
That's right.
To
convince them otherwise.
Right, to not have that happen. However, what you can try to do during that time that you are in court or are going to court, there's always room for negotiation. There's always room to contact the other person. There's always room to open up a dialogue before you get to trial to try to get this to a place with some reasonable resolution. And I think you agree with that as well. And as you know, in your own practice, you have been able to help people negotiate in almost, 90-something percent of your cases?
Yeah, I mean, I've been very lucky. I don't know how much of it is luck or skill, but most of my cases, even when I was litigating, were resolved. Even, you know, maybe I'd go to court once for a motion and then, you know, very quickly we would come to the table and wrap it up.
What helped there, Gabrielle? What helped in terms of them not finishing out the litigation? What do you think helped?
I think that clarity is really the driving force. I think a lot of litigation is caused by anxiety and fear. I think people not knowing what is going on, even if it's like the aggressive party, sometimes they're being aggressive because of their own anxiety and fear, right? So like this whole idea of a compassion loop is so profound, because I'm not saying you should be forgiving of someone who betrayed you in a way like, oh, I forgive you and we're friends. But the idea of just noticing each person as a person who has their own weaknesses and their own stressors, it can help you to start to like look at your whole situation quite differently. Now, Dr. Sue, like there are going to be times where you just can't settle. Just cannot resolve things. And in those circumstances, that's where the hard internal work comes in. That's where your work and the better part work comes in, where you have to like find a way to reach a place of patience, of peace, of respect for yourself, so that you can hold your head up high and not feel like you're living in the shame that is so prevalent for everybody going through a divorce.
I couldn't agree with you more about that. And something that you said that is incredibly amazing is the compassion loop. All right. I love that term. I love what you said there, because even in the worst of these divorces, right, if you can get one side or both sides to have some small entity of compassion for the other, it changes everything. It really does. It changes the way they see each other. It changes the way they relate to each other. But of course, there are cases where that's just not possible due to personality factors and all those other kinds of things that get involved in the way.
But exactly.
Most times there is some factor that two people can work on together. And it's really about identifying those two factors. That they can focus on and look at together. I just want to remind everyone that you are listening to the Dr. Sue Show. This is where we go beyond divorce, and we show you that you can choose to become the solution to any conflict in your life. We are speaking with Gabrielle Hartley. She is an attorney, nationally recognized divorce mediator, and divorce strategy coach. All right, now I want to hear about your book, Better Apart. Tell me how that came about and, you know, about what the book is all about as well.
Oh, Dr. Sue. So how did it come about? So as I said a little while ago, I would see clients all day long and I just kept wanting to like form a group for them, because everybody would sit in the same seat across from me at my desk and, person after person. And I felt, gosh, people feel so alone. And I'm a little bit unconventional, as I'm sure you've already picked up as a lawyer. You know, I talk a lot about getting clear on what your big goals are, not just about like winning your case per se. And I thought, gosh, if I really can't make a group because of privacy issues, but what I could do is write a book that and create a program so that people who are going through divorce can just feel held by the content of the book to know they're not alone, right? And so I was really thinking about it for years and years. And then I heard that Gwyneth Paltrow had this conscious uncoupling. And I think that was in about 2014. And I came home that night and I said to my husband, I'm going to write the conversation changing divorce book. I'm going to be, you know, like writing a book that, that Gwyneth Paltrow is going to endorse, and it's going to be a global sensation. And my husband was like, oh my God, Gabrielle, go to bed. What are you talking about? And I was like, oh, those are fighting words. And so I just really focused on writing this. I felt like so passionate about the mission. And I was very fortunate. I got an incredible agent and I got a deal with HarperCollins. You know, I'd never written a book before. I didn't know anybody. The whole thing, but I just was very, very focused. And I kept saying, well, I'm going to be like the Gloria Steinem of positive divorce. Like I just, you know, I can't do it alone. I need to attract the world who's also working toward the same mission, people such as yourself. And so what I wanted to do is sort of break down the main elements that I see all of my clients struggling with. Mm-hmm. And so they're patience, respect, peace, clarity, and forgiveness. And so these five elements are sort of like the emotional trajectory that are superimposed on your divorce in the financial part and in the custody part. And if you haven't grappled with them, and I'll tell you a little bit about what I mean, but if you haven't grappled with them and you're trying to figure out the perfect parenting plan, it's going to be hard. If you haven't gotten clear on what you need, what you want, what you earn, what you spend, the financial part, it's not going to be easy, right? And so, you know, so to start with, you know, patience, how to take a step back in order to move forward, learning to respond instead of react. Respect, learning how to set boundaries so you can increase your own self-respect. Start accentuating the positive by spending more time with the people and circumstances who make you feel better, and get out of the gosh darn rabbit hole just perseverating on how you're married to a narcissist, right? Because that might feel okay, that might serve a purpose to get you through a painful part of your life, but it's not going to serve you to move forward. Peace. Peace does not mean that everything is hunky-dory and there's rainbows and unicorns, but what it means is getting neutral, taking a pause to reach a space of equanimity where you and your spouse can start to move forward, even if that means that you're not really engaging as much as you used to. You're only engaging to the extent that it's necessary, but you're doing it in a kind and neutral format. Also, in terms of neutrality, remember, it takes people 8 to 10 positives to hear any negative. So if you're going to be complaining about things, which you're going to be, the more you mention positives, the more you're going to butter the bread, if you will, so that people can hear the negatives when you say them and they're taken seriously. Clarity is all about figuring out what you want and what you need and sort of balancing them. And then forgiveness is how to move forward. Remember, holding on to anger is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. And so Better Part was created with the mind's eye of giving actionable tools that people can use who might not be in therapy, who might not have a coach. There's a lot, there's affirmations, there are, you know, mantras, there's writing exercises, there's all kinds of things that you can do to help you to work in conjunction with your therapist, in conjunction with your divorce coach. And if you're not much of a reader, but you'd like handouts and stuff like that, you can even buy, I have a program that's just a downloadable online program that just talks about these five elements and how you can elevate how you feel when you're feeling like total crap. So there, I'm going to end my answer on the word crap.
yeah, you like that word. But anyway, that's a great formula for all of this. And I'd like to go in a little bit more into each part of that model that you came up with and how it can be applied when you're going through something so difficult as a painful divorce, because I think every aspect of the model is correct and it's appropriate, whether you're going through a amicable divorce and a high conflict divorce. I think you need all of these in order to do that. But I think something else that you also need is, a time for self-soothing. And I don't know if you agree with that, but when we are self-soothing, we really need to take some time out for ourselves in order for us to be able to have this patience, respect, clarity, forgiveness, and peace. What are your thoughts on that?
Absolutely. In fact, self-soothing, that's all around self-care also. Mm-hmm. These five elements are all designed to create, to inspire, to engender, to foster wellness, okay? Like personal wellness. So what are some ways we can self-soothe? So like some things we can do is, you know, talk to our friends, get a manicure. I mean, it's COVID, so nobody's getting, maybe right now in some places people are starting to get manicures, pedicures, massages, go on a yoga retreat, all those things. But there's other ways to self-soothe. Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you like chopping vegetables. Can be really meditative for some people. Like maybe one way to self-soothe, which might sound a little bit strange, is like if you've always had some dream or aspiration to do something that might sound silly, like there's a judge who used to sit in the county where I practiced who always wanted to be a tap dancer. She didn't take tap dancing until she got off the bench. I'm going to say, you know, if you want to go and take a lesson, you know, go do something, you want to write a book, right? Like this could be a time to start leaning into your passions, leaning into the parts of you that you have left unexplored.
That's a great tip. And, you know, I love what you said in the beginning. It's not just getting a manicure. It's not just getting your hair done or your nails or going golfing or whatever it is. It's really about taking care of your needs on a daily basis, your emotional needs, sitting with yourself. You know, I was on a call this morning with a client of mine who has never really talked about the pain that has gone on inside of her since the divorce occurred in 2016.
Oh, my goodness. But you know what? Good for her that she's addressing it now and not in 2036.
Thank you.
Because that happens. That's the reason. That's the other reason. You know, it's funny. My mom, you know, she wasn't like super angry at my dad or not in a really overt, contentious way. But when she read my book, she said, "Are you trying to tell me something?" Yeah. Right? And it's like, and it is true. I do feel like people hold on to anger because in the beginning, it serves a really protective barrier between your feelings, maybe of love or then resentment, betrayal, whatever. The anger helps to protect you. And you can speak to this obviously better than I can, Dr. Sue, mm-hmm. because over time, you may develop a habit of speaking from a place of anger when you're not really needing that anymore. You can start to open your heart to forgiveness and compassion. Again, back to the idea of the compassion loop. Now, look, you know, I'm not a therapist. I'm a divorce strategist. Mm-hmm. I'm a divorce mediator. But I know that behind the scenes, if you don't do this hard emotional work, you're not going to feel better even when that you've signed on the dotted line. That's just the reality. This work is important. And you know, there's really no way, I don't know, like anyone who's had little kids, you know, the book, you're going on a bear hunt, you know, you got to go through the river, you got to go through the mountain. Yep. You can't just paint on a happy face and say, oh, I'm over this. I'm good now. No, like feel the pain and vision the future.
So I'm going to, you know, say something about that as well, because when people are using anger, as they do so much in these difficult divorces, okay, they are doing that to protect themselves from the other emotions that are coming up for them. And most of those emotions, by the way, are fear or panic or even taking that further, looking at themselves and the shame and the self-blame of everything that has happened, especially in regards to what has happened if their children are being used as pawns within within the battle between the two parents. So it's very difficult, isn't it, Gabrielle, to look at yourself fully when this is going on? It's really difficult, and that's why the anger helps to mask all of it.
Let's be honest. It's always difficult to look at ourselves, right?
Oh,
I mean,
yes.
Like looking at ourselves, like getting really vulnerable, it may be easier in some ways for some people, but generally getting really vulnerable with yourself, recognizing where you're complicit in your dynamic, that's the hardest thing to do. And that goes for every single one of us. I know it goes for me, right? I mean, like, I will tell you that I spent the early years of my own marriage very frustrated because my husband was working a lot and traveling a lot. And I was, you know, bringing home at least half of our family finances. And I was responsible for all the kids' stuff. And I was walking around feeling so angry. And then it kind of occurred to me that, like, he wasn't limiting me. I was limiting me, right? And when
yes.
I started to take charge of my own life, it, like, I don't know, it hit me like a thunderbolt. Like, it hit me on my own. And it was probably around the time when I decided to write Better Apart. I had so many ideas in my head. I had so many places I wanted to go and do and be. And I just started to do it. And, you know, I'm on my journey. We all have journeys. And if we can circle back for a second, Dr. Sue, to the shame, you know, like, it is okay to feel shame, to notice that you feel it, and then to let it go, right? And I think, like,
yes.
I think the reason that song Let It Go did so well is because it really resonated for people. You know, everyone has stuff to let go. That's just the reality. And when we let things go, we can start to heal.
Absolutely. And I think one of the things that is really important about the letting go, Gabrielle, is that you let go in your own time. Just because somebody says to you, have to let go now, put this behind, get out of the anger, that doesn't mean you're going to get out of the anger. In fact, that's not compassionate at all. It's more compassionate to say, over time, this will dissipate. Give yourself time.
Exactly.
Instead of... Yeah,
but it's not, it may not dissipate if you don't do the work. That's the thing. Like, you know, a therapist can really help you. It might take from when you're 32 to 72 if you don't do the work. The work is hard, but it really, there's no other way. That's what I'm saying. Like, you got to go through the woods. You got to go, you know, into the muck, get into the muck, and then you can move forward.
Absolutely. And so going back to that client this morning, she really was able for the first time to catch her breath.
That's awesome.
And go into the pain for a little bit. She said to me, Dr. Sue, before you, all I was doing was just looking for fixes, looking for somebody to tell me what to say to fix this. But I now realize that I am the only one that can fix this because I have to fix it within myself first so I can be present for what is going on every single day. And that is it. And that's why I think your model really captivates all of this, because it's about patience, respect, clarity, forgiveness, peace. These are all the things that you need to do for yourself first. So then you could step into your power and come to these situations in a different place, one of peace, not one of contention. All right, we are going to go to our first break. You are listening to the Dr. Sue Show. This is where we go beyond divorce, and we teach you that you can choose to become the solution to any conflicts within your life. We will be back in just a moment with Gabrielle Hartley. She is a nationally recognized divorce attorney, online mediator, and divorce strategy coach.
Divorce is painful enough without it becoming the War of the Roses. Did you know that divorcing through the court system leaves most couples not only with a hole in their heart, but also a hole in their pockets? But there is another option. You can choose to have your divorce done differently, where everyone wins. Hello, I'm Lenore Myers of Divorce Done Differently, where my goal is to be part of your solution instead of part of your problem. With my 35 years of experience as a family law attorney and certified mediator, I can help you and your spouse have your divorce done differently, where you will be in control of making your financial and custody agreements in an economical, informed, amicable way without court involvement. Contact me, Lenore Myers, at divorcedondifferentlypa.com or just call me at 215-470-3121 so you and I can discuss free of charge the variety of options available to you and your spouse to help you have your divorce done differently.
Getting divorced to need help with a family law problem? Turn to me, family law attorney Randy Rubin. I'm an advocate for my clients' goals with compassion and zealous advocacy. What makes me special is that I know divorce professionally and personally. I'm a seasoned trial attorney with the added benefit of significant experience in business and real estate. I can assist you with identifying your goals and will seek an early resolution when possible. My practice includes divorce, equitable distribution, support, premarital and postnuptial counseling, custody, protection from abuse, and adoption. I litigate in courts in Bucks County, Chester County, Delaware County, Montgomery County, and Philadelphia County, and throughout Pennsylvania and southern New Jersey. Call me today to schedule your consultation at 215-400-2827 or email me at rrubin@clair.com. You will not be disappointed.
Women who attend the Second Saturday Workshop leave our classroom with hope, information, and support. Every month, women gather at locations in suburban Philadelphia and South Jersey to get the facts and information they need from attorneys, therapists, and financial planners. We do not promote or encourage divorce. If a woman finds herself on that path, we want her to have the information she needs to make good decisions. For more information, go to secondsaturday.com or call 215-699-6993.
Hey everybody, Dr. Sue here. Welcome back to the Dr. Sue Show. This is where you can choose to become the solution to any conflict in your life. And we do that through compassion. Compassion for yourself and compassion for others that are going through difficult times in their life. Joining me today is Gabrielle Hartley. She is a nationally recognized divorce attorney, online mediator, and divorce strategy coach. Welcome back to the show.
Hi.
Hi. So we've been talking about your book, Better Apart, and your method of following these potential steps in order to come together without having to litigate. Is that correct?
Exactly. So while sometimes you have to, sometimes the navigation is just one of yours, right? Because you can't control the other side. And so I just want to make one comment about the concept of patience, because I know that people want everything done yesterday. You know, why does he get custody? Like he hasn't done anything. The one time he was alone with the kids, he gave them back to me in an hour. You're like, why don't I just get custody? And it's like, you're going to need so much patience to get through this process, unless you're fortunate enough to be able to mediate it or to somehow resolve it quicker than the way that the justice wheels turn. We have due process, and that applies also in the context of divorce. So you're going to need to be so patient with yourself, with your ex, with your lawyer, with the therapist, with your kids, with the judge, the whole thing. That goes for you, even if you're mediating or you're litigating, either way, you know, and sometimes just remembering that you need to take a step back in order to move forward can be really game changing.
And how do you encourage people to take a step back? Because you do divorce strategy coaching. So how do you do that?
So I have something called the CLOSE process, which stands for clarify, listen, optimize, strategize, and end. And so we spend a lot of time in the clarify section. Clarify is all about figuring out your big goals. What are your big goals? Like, you know, I want to have peaceful interactions with my ex. I want to have a close relationship with my kids. I want to have plenty of money. I want to have free Friday nights. I don't know, whatever your goals are, right? And then you want to go really, really detailed on what exactly you need under each area. When you know what you want, you're so much more apt to be able to get it. First of all, there's, you know, the universe tends to provide what we want when we're super duper clear and focused about what it is. Second of all, once other people know what you want, you know, the other people, if you know what you want, that's going to start anchoring the positions of the other people because they're not going to know what they want most of the time. Right. And if both people know what they want, the interesting thing is it's very rare that you both want the exact same thing once you get behind the position. I do a lot of work with my clients on figuring out what their interests are, which is the why. What are you looking for? Yeah. You want the house, but why? What is it going to do for you? You want, you know, your wife just left you and you just had an affair and you want to stay married. But now she says the only way we're going to stay married is if you take off your ring and I can go on some dates and you just have to deal with it. And then, you know, the guy calls me and says, what do I do? I say, well, if you don't do it, are you going to get divorced? Yeah, I'm going to get divorced. Do you want to get divorced? No. Might you get divorced anyway? Yeah. But if this is what she wants to do, you know, maybe let her do it, right? I mean, it's all like, what do you want? And how do you get what you want?
You first have to know what you want. And I think people don't always know what they want while they're in this. They have an idea in terms of what they want. You know, I want custody or I want this. But they don't think about what they want in terms of the communication between them and the other person. And because of that, it's very difficult for them to define and stick with what they want because the pieces are turning every other second through the messages or one party saying to the other, I want this. And then the other party says back, I want that. And so who's going to be the one that steps up and negotiates? So one person has to be that person, and I think that should be a part of what they want, is to be that person in terms of taking that higher road and negotiating something out.
But sometimes, I mean, you're absolutely right, but sometimes they're very, okay, so whenever we are negotiating for something, whatever it is, if you're getting divorced, if you're, you know, anything you're negotiating, we get very stuck on the content of what we want. Right?
Yep.
I always use that example of like, I want the house. Everybody wants the house, but really everybody doesn't want the house. Everybody wants stability. Everyone wants to know that they're going to see their kids a lot. Right? So when you get behind the what and you get to the why, you get to the interests, usually there's not a contradiction. I mean, I have found it so fascinating to see that when you, once you start getting behind the stated goal and you get to the underlying issue, things just settle. I mean, my cases, unless somebody really doesn't want to get divorced, my cases are pretty darn quick because we get to the why. What are you looking for? What is going on here? And then when we satisfy everybody's underlying need, then the wants will trickle in, and then that's that. Does that make sense?
Yes, but how can you get to the...
I love a yes, but question.
I'm going to challenge you on this.
Yes, please do.
How do you get to the underlying issue with somebody that is not willing to budge from their own position? They feel like they're always right. How do you do that?
Well, who are you? Are you the other party? Are you the mediator? I mean, I, as the mediator, mm-hmm. I say, do you want to be right or do you want to resolve this case? Do you want to be right or do you want to go to court? I'll go to court. Okay, fine. Go to court. I mean, I always tell people I'm not a magician. I've had people say to me, so says you. But the reality of it is most people, not all people, but most people who are already at the table saying they want to negotiate, they want to negotiate, but they have fear. So what is that fear? What is the thing they're afraid that's going to happen? Say you want to buy a house and the seller puts in a clause that time is of the essence, which means like, you know, if you don't close within 20 days, they're going to keep your down payment, right? Well, who would sign that? Because maybe if you have the money, but let's say you're buying a house, You have to sell your house. I'm making this too complicated. Basically, the seller is thinking, well, if I just hold it on the market and you don't close, now I'm losing all these days, right? So there's like the fear. So how do you allay the fears of that difficult spouse? Now, Dr. Sue, what you're raising is, what if you just have, if you're negotiating with a terrorist, right?
Yes.
Can't negotiate with a terrorist. Go to court. My attorney in New York City that I work with every single day, I send her the best cases. I have wonderful people who call me. They want to mediate with me. They've heard me. They've seen me. They've read my book. They want to mediate. They talk to me for 10 or 15 minutes. And I say, I'm really sorry, but you know, you're not, based on the things you're telling me, you're going to have a lot of work to do and you're going to have to go to court and you need a strong advocate. If you are dealing with someone who has a very strong advocate on their side, and when I say a strong advocate, I mean a winner take all kind of scorched earth advocate. Unfortunately, you probably need a scorched earth advocate as well. Right? So like somebody comes to me, I say, okay, we can do things the hard way or the easy way. You're going to work with me. You're going to get a very, very fair deal. If you don't negotiate with me, I'm going to give my client a lawyer who you're going to just pray that you could have come back and negotiated with me.
That is one way to look at this, but I think there's also another way also that everybody's not the same. There are different circumstances when somebody that feels like a terrorist may negotiate with you if you can tap into what it is specifically that they are having so much problems with.
Dr. Sue, I'm so sorry. I thought you meant a terrorist who like you couldn't tap through with compassion. They just, you know, they don't have any insight ability. Somebody who's actually a narcissist, somebody who, yeah, you might think you have a terrorist on your hands and you may not. You're 150,000% right. Don't assume you can't work it out.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You know,
totally.
I think 100% right. You don't assume until you try. And sometimes when you try to have that compassion or try to look at what really is bothering them and try to come to some negotiation, things do change. So I think you have to go down that route first to see what can and cannot be accomplished.
Totally.
Yeah. But of course, there's cases where you can't do that at all. But I think it's important for people that are listening to know that you can take a chance on that as well. That you don't know if it's possible or not possible until you give it a chance. All right, everybody, we are listening to the Dr. Sue Show. This is where you can choose to become the solution to any conflict in your life. My guest today is Gabrielle Hartley. She is a nationally recognized divorce attorney, online mediator, and divorce strategy coach. So tell me a little bit more about why you transitioned from being a lawyer, practicing lawyer all the time, into the divorce strategy coach and doing mediation. Why did you make such a shift?
I just couldn't stand the senseless fighting. I just couldn't stand it. I mean, listen, it's kind of exciting and fun to be in the courtroom.
Okay.
But understanding like emotionally what you're actually doing to somebody by skewering them, just, it never brought me any sense of joy. I just like, it was never really who I was at heart. And what, you know, anyone who might be listening, who is a lawyer, you know what I'm talking about. The other lawyers sort of look at you like you're not a real lawyer if you don't go to court. And it took me a long time to say, you know what? I'm not doing this. Like it's a necessary evil and other people can do it, but I'm just not doing it anymore. But to be honest, Dr. Sue, way back when I went to law school, mediation and alternative dispute resolution and conciliation, it really wasn't part of the experience. I talked about mediating all the time back when I clerked for the judge. At that time, there was no mandatory mediation. It was very rare that people even went to mediation, even in the early 2000s, believe it or not. Mm-hmm. So it's really been writing better apart and speaking to the hundreds, if not thousands, of women and men who I've met since it came out just about 2 years ago. I'm just so glad that the path is finally open and that I'm not going to court, and I'm meeting more and more people like yourself who are here to support all of your listeners who are trying to deal with this really difficult situation. You know, some of your listeners might be dealing with spouses that they feel are impossible, or they might be even feeling like depressed in a way that they feel like they're never going to be better. But I know that you will be better, and your spouse is not going to have, they're not going to own your brain forever. You just need to give yourself that inner patience to take your brain back, take your agency back, and start feeling good again.
Thank you for that. And do you think that you went into mediation to make this a less, a less litigatory process for people? I mean, do you think that the reality is that the family court system is corrupted in some way, or people are turning to the family court system to heal their families instead of what the family court really is there for, right? They're there for child support. They're there for custody.
So yeah, I mean, I did mediation. I do mediation and strategy because I know that the courtroom is not the place for thinking people. It's just not. I mean, I spent many years in the courtroom. It gets so silly. The arguing is so ridiculous so much of the time. There is so much unnecessary posturing, so many senseless conversations. The family court, the Supreme Court, whatever it's called where you are, the probate court, it's not going to solve your problems. It is not going to heal your family. It's going to make things worse. To me, it wasn't even like a decision. Like, for me, this is the only way. But again, I say that, but I'm not saying that with an air of, oh, and if you go to court, there's something wrong with you. So sometimes you have to go to court and it is okay. But you're going there because your spouse is leaving you no other option. They're refusing to disclose what they have, right? You're not going to get the money that you need to survive, or that you are owed because you were married and because you had a certain lifestyle, quite frankly, right? Or maybe if you don't go to court, there's going to be a parenting plan that doesn't make sense given the age and nature of your children. I mean, court is necessary, but I think personally, the real reason I think I enjoy it is because when I grew up, my parents did this thing. You're going to laugh, Dr. Sue. It was like family meetings. It was almost like quarterly, and it'd be my mom and her now husband, and then my dad and whoever his girlfriend was at the time. And they would just like get together and tell me everything I was doing wrong. They were like showing me they were the parents and I was the kid, right? And because they were very into the fact that, you know, just because we're divorced, you're not in charge, we're still in charge. That is something I heard so many times my entire childhood.
How'd that go over for you?
No. I mean, I was actually a very good kid. I probably was a parentified child, but we'll have to talk about that offline in session, Dr. Sue. But so I think that I have a lot of satisfaction in the room resolving cases, because as a kid, I was in the room, but I didn't really ever get to talk, right?
Like, yes.
It was very parent-led.
And that happens a lot, by the way, in these divorces, because, you know, what ends up happening is that one party feels like they're losing power over the other child, over their child, because the child maybe want to spend more time with the other parent, so on and so on. And so they want to use their power in the way of controlling or telling their child what they're doing is absolutely wrong. But that is not where the power is, okay? The power comes from telling your child how important they are to you, that you realize that they're struggling, supporting them and making their own choices and decisions. That's the parent the child's going to gravitate towards.
Absolutely. I mean, I was very lucky. My parents, I will say, they did get along really well, and there was no you know, it was more like I wanted to do things. Like, yeah, I was really, really lucky. And I'm going to say, like, my mom said something to me. If any of you are listening and you're like, what should I tell the kids? If your kid and Dr. Sue, maybe you're going to disagree with her, but I am forever grateful. I was 9. I wanted to know what happened. And you know what she said to me? She said, Gabrielle, you're a kid. Mommy and daddy have grown up problems. You don't need to worry about our problems. You're a kid. You enjoy being a kid. We both love you. That's it. And that was that.
And how was that for you? Good?
It was great. Right. Because it unburdened me from having to weigh in on their issues. I don't know. Like, I think a lot of, I have heard a lot of different opinions about that topic. I personally think that it is the obligation of the parents to be the parents and to let the kids be the kids, and not, you don't need to, as the parent, tell your kids what's wrong with the other parent, because they're going to figure it out. They're going to get older and they're going to know. And it's good for children to believe that they have two wonderful, loving parents. That's just good for their inner narrative.
It is. But the problem is, in a lot of these cases, is that that doesn't always happen and come to fruition. That's what we want. So the best thing that we can do, if somebody is struggling with that on one side and can take in the reality of what is really going on here, that child can have a really good role model on one side to see what the best way is to resolve conflict or the best way to speak to your child. It's important for children during this process, and even as adult children, to know that they come first and they matter, and that this is not about taking sides or one parent screwing the other parent out of something. They need a voice, and it's really important. They also need to be heard, validated, and acknowledged for what they're feeling, not just being told what they're feeling.
What do you think about when older, like grown children's parents divorce and the parents tell them everything that happened? What do you think about that? I'm so curious.
I think that it's still inappropriate. I think you're always a parent, and you're the parent, and the child is always your child, and your child is not your therapist. Your child is not your confidant. Your child has their own life that they're living, and that they need to find outside resources to have an outlet for that, because at any age, a child does not want to choose sides against their parent, and they shouldn't have to.
That's exactly precisely what I would say.
Yes.
That's exactly right. Except you said it so much better.
Well, thanks for that. But that really is the.
But I think a lot of times, you know, you hear kids say, well, you know, she lied to him, therefore she was lying to us, or he lied. Do you know what I mean? The older parent, the older kids. So, you know, and again, like, I think that having a good therapist and having, and I know we're like so off topic now, yeah. That's what we, but I think it's just so important to allow your kid at any age to process it their own way and not become too involved in your dynamic.
Yeah. And you know, that does feed in right back into what goes on in these high conflict cases, because one parent is usually sharing all of their stuff with the child about the other parent, about the court cases, all of that stuff. And that is not appropriate. This child has nothing to do with the divorce. They have nothing to do with the anger towards each other. The child is your child. They didn't ask for this.
Right.
And what ends up happening is that child basically becomes the surrogate wife sometimes for this human being, or sometimes the surrogate husband, in the way where they're talking about all these intense issues, and that's not okay.
Right. So in those cases, when I have those cases, I would refer them to somebody like you.
Right.
For that's the emotional exactly right. Strategy coaching, right? So I sort of stick, I stay in my lane.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you have to do, because these are all very complicated situations. But, you know, what you do, divorce strategy is very important because I think a lot of times people do not know what strategy to take when they're going through this. Is there a specific strategy that you can suggest quickly for all people that are going through this divorce or are in post-divorce dealing with somebody that's coming at them constantly that's saying, you're still stealing my money, you're doing this, you're doing that? Is there one strategy you can give?
Online communication app. Get it in your court order.
Yes.
We talked about this, I think, on Clubhouse.
Yeah, I think we did. Why is that so important, Gabrielle?
Because it's taking – so an online app, and I love the FAIR app. That's F-A-Y-R. Mm-hmm. Because then you can see where's the problem. Everything in the online app is going to be housed in the app. The judge can see it. The lawyers can see it. It's going to keep things – yes, you're going to lose a little bit of privacy, but you're also going to – lose the fear. And you can get these court ordered. The judges all over the country, as far as I know, will order that communication happen, be limited to an app unless there is an emergency. Also, if you're being harassed, there are anti-harassment orders. So if you have a spouse who's going into your workplace, or heaven forbid, they think that you're, you know, cheating on them and they wiretap your medical office, you know, that's a HIPAA violation. They could go to jail. I mean, there's a lot of remedies available. There are things beyond just fear of serious bodily harm. If you go to your lawyer and say, I'm scared, I feel threatened, and it doesn't rise to the occasion of an order of protection, there are other ways to protect yourself from being harassed. So those are kinds of things that, like, if somebody were to call me, I would give them different strategies on how to handle that, right? Because also, getting an order isn't necessarily going to protect you, like an order of protection or that sort of thing. But the app is a great tool because you're saying, oh, you know, we don't communicate that well. It's taking the blame out of it and you're putting it on the two of you, even if it's not really your fault. Who cares? Just communicate through the app and make your life easier.
Yeah. And another app that is great is Our Family Wizard. That's also used a lot. I agree with you, because in the Family Wizard, you can show the court that you are not the adversarial one. You're trying to work together. You're being pleasant, so on and so on. And that goes a long way. All right, Gabrielle Hartley, thank you so much for being on the Dr. Sue Show today. How can everybody get in touch with you?
Yeah, just go to GabrielleHartley.com and you can message me right there. You can follow me on social, Gabrielle Hartley ESQ. But if you want to talk to me about anything, it's GabrielleHartley.com. Thank you so much. It is always so much fun to talk to you.
Thank you so much. Thanks, everybody, for joining us again on another episode of the Dr. Sue Show. This is where we take you beyond divorce and we teach you that you can become the solution to any conflict in your life. To hear past radio shows, please go to www.wwdb.com. Have a great Friday, everyone. Bye-bye.